Next, we are going to hear God's word read, and I'm going to invite Maureen up to read us from Haggai. Remember the words of Psalm 95 that we looked at in Hebrews in the summer. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. So as we hear the voice of God, there's the warning, don't harden your hearts.
Our reading comes from the book of Haggai, chapter 2, from verse 1 to 9. In the second year of King Darius, on the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem like you like nothing? But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all of you, people of the land, declares the Lord. And work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted to you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of his present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. This is the word of the Lord. Keep your Bibles open.
Thank you, Maureen. As I told the children, we will pray, as they have probably already done. Let's ask God's help. Heavenly Father, we remember from Psalm 95 the warning that if we hear your voice, we must not harden our hearts. Remember the words of that song, the children's song, that you speak and we should listen and hear your message and trust and obey it. Simple words, but profound truths. We pray that our lives would be changed by thinking of about your message now, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, why should I want to serve in the church? Why should you want to serve in Dagenham Parish Church? I should have reminded you, Maureen, who came up to read, is serving in the church, being the safeguarding officer. So if you are aware of a concern of safeguarding, you think someone vulnerable, a child or a vulnerable adult, is perhaps being abused, she's the first person to report that to, and she channels it to the right authority. So thanks, Maureen, for serving like that. Why would anyone want to serve, though? Why would anyone want to serve God's work? And the reason people ask this question is once they've started to understand the Christian message, it actually makes sense. I'm forgiven by God. I'm loved by God. So why not just sit back, relax, enjoy my own interests? I'll turn up at Sunday, you know, to keep a connection with God, but why do I need to put extra effort into it? Why do I need to be on a rota, do preparation, be inconvenienced? Why would I want to serve God's work? Is it just because Joel wants me to, so that he can boast to other vicars about what a lively church he's involved with? Well, perhaps if Joel was funny and impressive and powerful enough, I'd do that, but he's not. Is serving in church and serving God's purposes, is that just something for the keen Christians, the ones who are super excited about being a Christian? It's just what they're like, and you can expect them to be involved. Why would an ordinary Christian like me do that? Or is it because God wants me to? And why does God want me to serve like in his church and in his mission? Why serve the church? Why serve in God's work? We are going to hear God's answer to that question from his message through Haggai. Haggai was God's messenger. But it's a strange book. And so we've got to take care to understand it, because partly because it's at the end of all the Old Testament history of the Old Testament people of God, and partly because we are actually in the New Testament. We are Christians, if you're a believer in Jesus. So there's two reasons that makes it slightly tricky. So we need to think of how it fits in the Old Testament and what a difference being a Christian makes. So what the plan for this morning, let me take you through. Here we go. Here's the plan for this talk. I'm going to show how Haggai fits within the Old Testament and then what the New Testament version of the temple is. Because Haggai is all about the people building the temple in Jerusalem. Well, what's that mean for us as Christians? And then what is God's message through Haggai to God's people? How does he motivate them? So let's have a look at Haggai in the Old Testament. God brought his people of Egypt, put the people of Abraham out of Egypt, rescued them from Egypt, brought them to Mount Sinai. Keep going, please. And at Sinai, he said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. I'm going to live amongst you. Keep going. And he takes them then from Mount Sinai to the promised land. And on the edge of the promised land, he says to Joshua, the leader, I am with you. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. I'm going to lead you in to take this promised land, this new Garden of Eden, this new paradise. I am with you. So they go into the land. And within the land, they build the first temple, which is the God's house with them, God's palace, a symbol of him being with them. But they fail in many ways. And so they are thrown out of the land, just as Adam and Eve had been thrown out of Eden. They were thrown out of the promised land and went to Babylon, and this is called exile. As time moved on, Babylon was taken over by Persia, and amazingly, God enabled the people of Israel, the Old Testament people, to be brought back to the promised land a second time. And that's where Haggai comes in. This is the building of a new temple, a second temple. The old one had been broken down and ruined. They had been sent off to Babylon, then Persia. They've now come back to the promised land. And they're building the second temple. What has this got to do with us? Well, in the New Testament, the temple, there's no building in the world where God particularly lives. Jesus says, his people with him, that is the temple. That is where God is known. That's where people meet with God and grow in life with God. So we were made for life with God. And this is the reason we would want to throw ourselves into working for church and working for God's mission purposes. God says, I'm with you. You can have life with me. And the way he's with us in the Old Testament, it was symbolically through this building, the temple. The way he's with us now is as we come to faith in Jesus. And that's why we want to work at the life of the church, because the church is the New Testament temple, not this building. So in the summer, when we had a sermon, a Bible reading and a sermon and prayers in here, then we went outside and sang out there. We didn't leave church to go out and sing. We took church out there. We carried on being church out there. God's temple is where God's people are around Jesus. He is with us. Remember, I said last week, the Old Testament people of God are a sort of a model. Here's my model I borrowed from Harrington. Don't tell him. I don't think he'll mind. That's a model dumper truck, model dust cart. It's not the real thing, but it gives you a sense of it, doesn't it? It's got wheels. It's got a cab. It's got a space for rubbish in the back, but it can't do the true job. And that's the way to understand the Old Testament. The Old Testament isn't the real thing. It's a picture for us. And the picture has this great big splendid building in Jerusalem called the temple. But the reality is Jesus with his people. That is the true reality. So the Old Testament is help us to understand that. But we're not missing out if we don't have a super fancy building, because we've got the true thing. Okay, the true thing is life with Jesus. And the New Testament tells us that. Let's look at two slides on, I think it is. Here we go. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives among you if you're a Christian? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred and you together are that temple. So that's how the New Testament says it. This is the true temple of God. Christians together, gathered in faith around Jesus. That building that was built and demolished and built again in the Old Testament was just a model of the ultimate reality, God living with his people, not in a building in Jerusalem, but amongst us, as by his Spirit living amongst us. So Haggai was saying to the people of his time, God wants you to work and build the temple. What does that mean for us? How do we work and build the temple? That means we do things to build up the church community, the church family. That is the essential work that we're doing. And that the church is built up as new people come in and join us. New people come to faith in Jesus and they become part of this church group. That's the building up of the church. The church is also built up as we together become more like Jesus. You're right. Sure. Okay, thank you. So as our faith in Christ is strengthened and deepened, the church is built. Let me show another slide, which is an image I showed at our annual general meeting, which is a way I find it helpful to understand God's work of building. Sorry, can you go back? Did that automatically transition? What a pain. Okay, before it transitions, you can see on the left-hand side, engage, evangelize, the nations in darkness, brought into the kingdom of the Son, and then we've got establish and equip. Maybe if you come out from there now. Sorry, I don't know what has gone wrong with that. So some people are very far away from Christ and his kingdom. They never even met or spoken to a Christian person. And the first thing they need in order to come into the temple of God to become a believer is to meet Christians. God has put you in many different places. You think that through the week, you're going to be next to neighbors, people in shops, people on buses, people in your workplace. He spread you around so that you can make that connection. There's many people in London who don't know a Christian at all. Let's hope there aren't people in London who don't realize they know a Christian because you've not told them. Once they know a Christian, that's a first connection, isn't it? The next step is that they might be evangelized. That means they hear the message of Jesus. And it's through that message about Jesus that people are converted into trusting him, a life of thankfulness to God, and learning to live his way. That then leads them into the new life of a Christian. He gives us that life. We want people to be established in firm faith, in confident faith in the Christian message, in the life they have, and to equip them to live the Christian life. And that's why we did the recent 6-part series on how to speak the message of Jesus. We wanted to equip. Okay, that is the program. That is God's program of bringing people into the temple. The temple is Jesus' people together. He brings us in that way. And we build the temple by engaging with people, telling them the message, evangelizing, and then once they're part of us, establishing them in confidence in the message and equipping them to live the new life God's given them. So we want to be part. We want that to be happening to us, don't we? If that's God's program, us to have life with him, it's what we were made for. And this is the way it happens. But we grow in that. We grow to become more in that life with him as we help others along. It's not just happening to you as you sit in the seats and do nothing. You will grow in that as you take part in this. So what does that mean for you? How can you be builders of the new temple? Back then, they had to go up to the mountain, cut down trees, bring them down to Jerusalem and use the trees to build the temple. What are the activities for people in Dagenham today to build this true temple? It's these things. Invite people to church. When you get the opportunity, and when you've begun to learn some confidence, say what you've understood about Jesus. Tell them the message. Pray for people. Welcome others when you see someone new at church you've not met before. Come to church regularly yourself and to midweek groups. Speak to one another in church. Speak to people outside of church. The way we run church here is designed that it will help us grow together. That's why we, the Church of England has got a particular design that it's not services in Latin, as they used to have, which people didn't understand, but in English, so they understand. That's why we don't have speaking in tongues as part of our church service, because other people don't understand it. The point of meeting together is to speak a message we can understand. Through that, we hear from God. And we are built in faith in Christ. Well, we've seen Haggai's place in the Old Testament. He was amongst the people. They were rebuilding the second temple. What does that mean for us? We are people of the New Testament, people of Jesus, part of the true temple. God's people together, trusting in Jesus, that is the true spiritual temple. And we build the temple, like Haggai told his people of his time to build the temple. We build the temple by growing ourselves, going along this arrow ourselves into more and more closeness to Jesus, and by helping others come along with us. That's God's work. Why would we do it? Well, I've partly answered that. This is what life's for, to be with God. Let's have a look at what Haggai says in Haggai chapter 2. Haggai, the preacher, starts with asking some questions from God. Verse 3. Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? Who of you saw the old temple? How does it look to you now? Doesn't it seem to you like nothing? So some of them were old enough to remember. They'd been in Jerusalem for the first temple. They'd then gone to Babylon, which got overtaken by Persia, and they've come back again, and they could still remember. And you can tell that Haggai was expecting them to say, yeah, you know, that old one was much better than this. This one is really weak. This is really inadequate and pathetic. But God tells his people to continue, and so he gives commands. Here are the commands. Can you see the commands in verse 4? What's his first command? Can you see that? Well, I'll get my glasses out. What's his command in verse 4? Be strong. Yeah. Be strong. Work. He doesn't mean be strong from working out at the gym. If you read your email notices this week, you might have seen that there's a free gym session available for church members cutting down trees around Exeter Road Hall. We're not charging. You can come and help us cut down trees. But he's not talking about getting strong like that. Strong in character. Be tough. Be resilient. Persevere. Don't give up. Don't be scared. Be strong. Work at it. Next command. Verse 5, be strong and work. Be strong and work. Okay, get on with the work. So those are God's instructions. He starts with questions. Does this seem really weak? Yeah, it is really weak. But be strong and get on and work. And to help them keep going, God makes a promise. It's a promise in verse 4. But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work. Here's the promise. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. I'm with you. The Creator God, the ruling God, is with his people. He was with Adam and Eve in Eden. He was with the people in the promised land. If you've got a good memory, you'll know that God said exactly this to Haggai a short time before, back in chapter 1, verse 13. Chapter 1, verse 13. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people, I am with you. I don't know, how would you feel if I preached this same sermon next week? You might complain. But that's what Haggai's doing. He's preaching last week's sermon this week. Why is God repeating it? Why does he say the same thing again? Because the Bible isn't just giving us information that you can write down perhaps on notes, or you can say, oh, I was there that week for the sermon. It's meant to change you. And sometimes change needs repetition, doesn't it? Sometimes you need to hear the message again for it really to sink in. And God knows what we need most. So it's not a different message from last week. It's the same message they needed to hear again. That's why learning Bible verses or learning Christian songs is a really helpful thing for us to have. So it's not as good, really, just to have them on your phone in your pocket. They're always there if you want to get them out, but they're not affecting you in the same way, are they? God means his word to affect us. If you've learned some Bible verses, that'll help you as you lie in your bed in the dark at 4 a.m., unable to sleep. If you learn some Bible verses you can recall, it'll help you as you face another conflict with a toddler or a conflict with your boss. It will help you when you feel guilt or fear or anger rising again. You can remember those Bible verses. It will help. But repeating this message here isn't just reminding them of the sermon Haggai preached last week or last month. It's a famous promise of God. And that's the reason we did our little quiz of famous lines. You could recognize some of those famous lines. Do you recognize this famous line? Be strong and I am with you. Who did God say that to? Joshua. Yeah, the first Joshua. We've got another Joshua here. But the first Joshua, he said, be strong and I am with you and you will go in and take over the promised land. And our problem is we can recognize Jailhouse Rock. Or knowing me, knowing you, you know, recognize the tune. But we don't necessarily catch the memory of really important Bible verses. We need to be reading our Bibles more. So we say, oh, I'm with you. That's an old one, isn't it? Yeah, who said that? God said that to Joshua. Just like we can remember the pop songs. We need to be knowing our Bibles better. So we say, okay, yeah, this is a reminder from God. I've done it before. I said that to Joshua, and I was with him, and he did go in, and he did take the land, and I was with the people. So it's not just a word and a phrase of a song, but it brings out all the reminders. You know, Christmas songs remind you of Christmas feelings. The pop song might remind you of some wedding or a party you went to. It's all that goes with those words. God has done it before. He says it again in verse 5. Chapter 2, verse 5, this is what I covenanted you with you when I came out of Egypt. So he brought them out to Sinai. I remember the speech bubble I put on the slide. I am with you. I'm going to be your God. I'm going to be with you. He said to Joshua on the edge of the land, I'm with you. He says to the people now through Haggai, I'm with you. That's something he's done before. So God's message is keep going. God has done it before. So through Haggai's message, we as a church can face up to the fact that our church looks weak. It's unimpressive, isn't it, the Christian church? Yeah, we're not going to turn Dagenham upside down this week. Some of the Old Testament people here could remember the former temple. It looked much better. Some of you can remember perhaps times when Dagenham Parish Church seemed much bigger, much more impressive. Now it seems perhaps weak and discouraging after the pandemic and small numbers. What's God's response? God says, be strong and work, and I am with you. And I've done it before. Don't fear. Be tough. Be resilient. Be persistent. Don't be put off. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep building the temple. That's important. God doesn't say, you know, get someone at the front who will tell you how great this church is and fire you up and get you excited. Because sometimes the church isn't great and exciting. What we need is not someone who will stand up at the front and wave their arms and say, oh, I'm so excited about God. Because that won't necessarily help you get through and keep you strong. We need God's word. We need to know that the living God is with us. And that'll give us strength to keep going. He's done it before. Keep going. Why should I want to serve in church? Why should I want to serve in God's ministry? Because God has done it before. And he says, keep going. Second part of Haggai chapter 2, keep going because God will do it again. Keep going, God will do it again. He adds to his promises. What are the promises in verses 6, 7, 8, 9? What does God say he's going to do? Haggai chapter 2. Verse 6. What does he say he'll do? Shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. Yeah. Verse 6, what does he say do in verse 7? Shake all nations. And what else does he say he'll do? Fill the house with glory. Brilliant. And then verse 9, what does he promise to do? I will grant peace. Now, God is making promises. Now, these promises are on a much bigger scale. This is not just a great big building or a great engineering project, even like something like Crossrail. This is the cosmos. This is the universe. Once more, the Psalm quote we had at the beginning of our church meeting this morning talked about God shaking the earth when they came out of Egypt. He's going to do it again. And what effect will that have? Verse 7. What will happen when he shakes the earth and the nations? Verse 7. I will fill this house with my glory. Yeah, what all the nations desire will be brought, and this house will be full of glory. They had been slaves in Egypt, but God had got them out of Egypt. What he'd done before, he's going to do again. When they'd left Egypt, all the Egyptians had handed over their jewelry to them. They'd come out full with loads of gold, and they'd taken that gold and used it for the temple. When the Babylonians had invaded them and demolished their temple, they'd taken all the gold away again. Now God says, it's going to come back. But I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, so everything precious is going to come in. And that, if you think to the very end of the Bible, how God describes the New Jerusalem, it's a magnificent city that is the temple of God, made of gold and silver and precious stones. That is how God is going to fulfill this promise. It should encourage his people. That is where the world is heading towards. God with his people and all the splendor of the world in God's presence. That's what we should be investing our time and energy towards, because that's where history is going. Don't live your life for the world that seems so strong. The people of Israel then, they were under the rule of Darius. All their dates were dated according to Darius, the superpower. Today, it seems like social media is so strong, doesn't it? Or popularity or wealth. We can live our life for those things. They are not forever. And so there is a warning. Warning not to miss out. We're going to go flip to the New Testament. Keep you awake. I think it's on the slides. Hebrews chapter 12. Sorry, here we go. Just to show you, there were the words to Joshua chapter 1. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. That was the famous old line of God that was repeated. Can you go on to the next two slides, I think? Here we go. Hebrews 12, page 1211. Page, turn in the Bibles to 1211. We're nearly there. We're nearly there. But this is how the New Testament picks up on this idea that God is going to bring all the treasures of the world into his glorious temple. I'll read 25 to 27. So page 1211, Hebrews chapter 12. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, this is talking about the people of Israel at Mount Sinai. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he's promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. So here's the book of Hebrews, picking out that quote from Haggai to say, God is going to shake. Again, he shook the earth when the people of God were at Mount Sinai that first time, and some of them ignored him, and they didn't escape. So how do you think you're going to escape now if God has sent this message to Haggai and said, I'm going to shake the heavens? All the treasures of the world are going to be there in the New Testament temple. You want to be building towards that, don't you? You say, no, 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 Facebook's much more important than God and church. No, money and my children's success in their exams is much more important than God and church. Where are you going to be at the end? Are you going to be included in God's new creation? Surely not. The present order of things is going to pass away. The world is going to experience a dramatic change. So commit yourself to building God's temple. Why should you serve in church? Why should you want to serve in God's work? Keep going at it, Haggai says. God's done it before. Keep going. God will do it again. Let's pray. Let's ask God to help us remember the ideas about what his true spiritual temple is and how we can build that through the telling of the gospel and his motives, that he's promised that he's with us and promised this extraordinary future change. Lord, help us, please, to believe what you have said in the Bible. To believe that because you've acted in the past, you can be relied on to act again. To help us to believe that in the end of all things, all the treasures of the universe will be wrapped up in your purpose. And it will be terrible for those who miss out. Show us, please, how we can work now in building your spiritual temple. Amen.